Hey, health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Janine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about creating habits versus goals. And the reason I want to talk about this in today's episode is because, well, we're starting out at the first of the year here in 2019. And sadly enough, 80% of folks that set New Year's resolutions throw in the towel on them by January 12th. That's not even a full 2 weeks of trying to give it their all on their new goal. And unfortunately, we do all this goal setting, but we really mean to set habits, because habits are a means to an end, and that end being the goal. Unfortunately, we kind of do it all backwards. Sometimes we have all of these little goals and we can overwhelm ourselves, when really we need to be forming some habits to create good foundations to get to our end goals. Now, I, of course, help patients with creating healthy habits, and all the time in my office, I'm repeatedly asked to help people lose weight. And it's like, I need to lose 100 pounds in the next 6 months. Never mind how to get there. And unfortunately, we never end up with great results when we're trying to do things too fast and trying to pound on too many really crazy habits and goals at the same time. Now, another biggie that I hear in my office is, I want to get healthy, I want to lose weight, I want to do it all right now. And that never works well, because there's too many things compounding. And so we're going to talk a little bit today about how to create habits that can get you to your end goal, and how to make sure that your goal is really something that you want and it's something that is realistic. Because I don't know how often I will have folks come in my office and go, I want to get healthy and I want to start running. And, you know, they're like, and I also need to lose 100 pounds. And I go, okay, well, when's the last time you ran? And they're like, well, high school? And now they're in their 40s. Now you can imagine that's been a couple years since they last ran. They're now overweight. They don't exercise regularly. You just can't go from couch to running. There's a lot involved in that. And so it's all about creating little habits to get to that end point. So perhaps you've heard of the statement that says it takes 21 days to start a habit, or 21 days to create a habit. Now, you might have even heard me say it before, because I do find that if someone can stick with something for 3 weeks, they will tend to stick with it longer. But where did that statement come from? So in doing my research for this podcast, I found that in the 1950s, a plastic surgeon named Maxwell Maltz came up with the idea that it takes about 21 days to start a habit, because in his case, he found it would take a patient 21 days to get used to seeing their new face after he performed a nose job on them. So it's kind of interesting that just this guy's observation in his office got us to the point where we were all kind of saying it takes 21 days to create a habit. Now, that's not necessarily the case, but I have seen that it's, you know, on par with what I often see. Now, there has been some research. Now, we have a group who published in the European Journal of Social Psychology that their study that looked at 96 people over a 12-week period, they found that it took about 66 days for a new habit to be solidified and actually stick in these individuals. And in some people, it took 18 days on the lower end and up to 254 days on the long end. Now, mind you, the study was only 12 weeks,
But apparently they must have been tracking the folks longer than those 12 weeks since it took some folks 254 days. So if you are struggling to create habits that stick, guess what? Some folks it took 254 days. So don't be hard on yourself. So what is it in our brains that guides us to reach goals or form habits? It boils down to dopamine. That neurotransmitter dopamine, that signal that the dopamine gives us gets stronger as we get closer to a goal or carrying out of habit. I mean, just think about your habits that you've set that quite possibly maybe aren't the healthiest habits, like perhaps having that after work drink. You know, in that last hour or so of work, you might actually be like hallucinating about sitting down in your favorite chair, having that sip of wine, or maybe it's wine and chocolate, or maybe you're just a chocolate kind of person. And so every day after work, you think about having that piece of chocolate in your chair, just unwinding from the day. Hey, let's face it, we all like our dopamine hits. And this is why we end up forming habits that feel good, whether they're technically good or bad for us. And, you know, that's the reason why, you know, smoking, cigarettes, sugar, those kind of things are so addictive, because it really does press our dopamine button and we feel good doing these certain things. So when we look at habits, a lot of people try to create habits that don't feel good to them. You know, if you are an individual who loves eating pizza and you want to break your pizza habit and you go to eating salad, well, you know, I mean, salad's tasty to me, but shoot, if you put a pizza in front of me and a salad, you better believe that I'm going to want that pizza versus the salad. And so you have to be taking these habits and creating things that you're going to enjoy. So maybe going from pizza to something that's not as calorically dense but tastes good. I don't know what that may be. It's going to be different for every single person out there, but something to think about. So in my research on habits, I kind of found that James Clear, he has a book called Atomic Habits, is kind of the guru out there in terms of helping folks set habits that stick. And I like his philosophy. I've used it on myself. I've used it with patients, and it does seem to work quite well. So here's his philosophy. A habit starts with a cue, meaning a thought, a feeling, an emotion that triggers a craving, which is that craving is that motivational force behind the habit. And that trigger is going to create a response, and that's the actual habit that you form. And that response is going to provide a reward, and this is the feeling you get from the response. The response with that reward that you get, you're satisfying the craving, which is that motivational force behind the habit. And ultimately, everything goes back to being associated with the cue. So together, all four of those steps create a neurological feedback to the brain. And so this cue, craving, response, reward allows you to create automatic habits. Now, a cue, these type of automatic habits that start with a certain cue can be bad habits. And a bad habit cannot be eradicated. It has to be replaced. I think this is a very important component here to think about for a second. A lot of us, if we say we like chocolate cake, maybe I just like chocolate cake, I don't know. But chocolate cake, for an example, who doesn't like chocolate cake, really? Well, if you don't like chocolate cake, then think of another flavor of cake. But anyway, so you have a piece of cake and you want to eat a piece of cake every single night. And you've created a cue, which is you've gotten off of work. And every time you get off of work, it means in your head that you're going to go get your piece of cake
And say this piece of cake, you buy a cake once a week. And so you cut pieces of the cake, and that's what you're feeding on, per se, here. Now, you can't just take that cake and be done with it and expect that that habit's going to go away. Why? Because your mind is going to ask for something else that's sweet like that cake. Now, you cannot buy that cake, which is one way to try to erase the habit. But yet our minds are strong. We've created a sweet craving. We're going to rifle through the cabinet and look for something else that's sweet and try to create a habit out of that. So you might go from eating cake one week and trying to not buy the cake, but then the next week you bought almond butter. And so now you're going to create an almond butter habit. And then the next week you go, oh, I can't buy almond butter because that's bad. So now I'm going to buy, let's see, what would I do? Sweet potatoes. So now you've gone from cake to almond butter to sweet potatoes, which technically almond butter and sweet potatoes are better habits to have than the cake. And you're replacing in that case. And so you see what I'm saying? You're not taking away that habit. You're replacing it with something different. So a habit can't be eradicated. It has to be replaced. Now, say eating that almond butter that switches into eating sweet potatoes, you're still consuming calories that may or may not be affecting your weight. And if your ultimate goal is wanting to lose weight, then you have to think about, okay, what am I going to replace this habit with? Well, what else do you like to do in the afternoon that doesn't require eating after work? Going for a walk, playing a video game, doing yoga, creating a new habit versus eating these foods when you get home or after work or however it may be. So you know what your habits are. If this is something that resonates with you, it's time to create yourself a new habit. Now, I just told you what one of my problems is in terms of needing to create a new habit. And what I've done is instead of coming home and go ahead and eat a snack, I've actually replaced it with eating an actual meal and having the meal portioned out so that I'm not eating cake or almond butter or whatever I'm finding in the cabinet. Now I'm actually eating a meal when I get home. So I think for a lot of people that are working on weight management and working on healthier lifestyles, having the snacks out of the house, but taking that snack habit that you created and turning it into something different and healthier for you is a great option. And so some people, they go home from work and they go for a walk versus having a snack. Lots of different options. I just found that eating a meal so I'm not eating too late at night actually helped me from overdoing it in the evening. So something to think about there. Now, a lot of people fail on creating habits. And unfortunately, what happens is we compound the habits. We try to do too many things at once. Let's go back to my patient example. I've got folks that come in and they're like, I want to lose weight. I want to get healthy. I want to start eating healthy foods. But let's back up a minute. This person is not a good cook. They rely on fast food quite often. Well, if they want to get healthy, they don't want to quick jump in to making all their own food on top of trying to start a new exercise routine, on top of starting to try to eliminate other foods from their diet. That's a lot of different steps. Some people who are trying to get healthy don't drink enough water, drink too many alcoholic beverages, drink too much sugar sweetened beverages on top of eating out. That's a lot of different things to change all at once. So I recommend taking one step at a time, create that habit. And once you get that going and it's like second nature, then you're good.
you're absolutely good in that department. So something to think about in terms of one of the reasons that habits unfortunately fail, because you're attempting to do too much too soon, and you set yourself up for failure. Now, the other biggie is that I see a lot of folks get hyper-focused. They can't see the big picture in terms of what they're trying to do with the habit. They're so focused on the end goal. So keeping in mind, let's talk about weight again, because this is such a common one. I have folks who are so focused on losing weight that they can't figure out what habits they need to do first to get the weight off. And so they're so hyper-focused and so obsessed with weight loss that everything else just falls by the wayside. So they end up not eating at all or overeating because they stress themselves out. Now, another biggie that happens is folks fantasize about their end goal, and it really obscures the vision of how they're going to get to that end goal. They've got this big idea of wanting to retire early or wanting to lose weight, but they have no idea how they're going to get there, what steps they need to get to that component, what must be done to reach that end point. So not focusing on the habits first to get to the end goal. Now, another biggie is folks overthink. And so a lot of times I will have folks who come in to try to lose weight, and they're being so careful about their diet and so meticulous that they're driving themselves nuts. And it just doesn't do well. So, overthinking, a big deal. In Chinese medicine, there and Taoist types of thought process, there is a concept of doing something over and over and over again till you master it before you go to your next step. I think this is crucial information for anyone who's trying to set habits to reach a goal. So for example, before you can move on from drinking sodas and juices and venti soy lattes, you've got to master drinking water first, every single day. Then move to eating healthy. And it might not mean that you're going to create all your own meals at first. Maybe we're talking about healthy dining out substitutes, healthy fast food substitutes first, or using a company like HelloFresh, something of that nature to help you with your meals. So you get the picture here. And we're all guilty of it. I think most folks, if you look back at all the habits you've tried to create or even trying to reach endpoint goals, there's a lot that can get in your way. And I think it's important to talk about those different things. All right. So we talked about things that would be getting in your way. Now, if you're struggling to make a new habit stick, James Clear notes that you need to ask yourself some simple questions. For example, what are some cues that you can set up in your environment to remind you to take your next action? So for example, if we go back to eating the cake after work, well, maybe we don't have any junk food in the house except for washed and cut fruits and veggies. Now you have a cue in your environment to eat those foods versus the junk food. Let's face it, if veggies and fruits washed themselves, we would eat a lot more of them. So if you have them washed ahead of time and cut up and ready to go, they're going to be a lot more attractive than, you know, if you did have cake in the house, because you could just bust open the cake and boom, it's in your mouth before you can even think about what you're doing. So these are cues. Same thing goes for if you're wanting to drink more water. Well, then get a water bottle out and have it on your desk. That is going to create that cue because it's right there. Now, next question you want to ask yourself, or what are some ways I can limit the barrier to the action for my desired habit? Like I said before, with the food, the barrier, the limit is wash the fruits and vegetables, cut them up, have them ready to go, because that's going to be a barrier. Now, another would be is if you are trying to work out, have your workout equipment there around the house versus having to go to a gym Because if it's right in front of you, you get a hula hoop, you've got some dumbbells right next to your, you know, desk at the house, it's a lot easier. Or your desk at work, you got a dumbbell next to it, it's going to make it a lot easier to think about picking that up and doing some bicep curls, something of that nature, than if you have to go to the gym, because that's where all of your workout equipment lies. Now, the next question would be, how can I reward myself in a positive way that will encourage me to continue pursuing these habits? So what can you keep doing to encourage yourself? Now, one of the big things to encourage yourself to keep eating veggies is to keep getting a variety of veggies, not eating the same darn ones over and over again. What about, you know, the workouts to encourage you to keep pursuing your habit? Get a new workout tool, something more fun. You know, if you got the dumbbell, then get a kettlebell. Get some bands, something to encourage you to keep going. What about if you're trying to drink more water? Maybe a new fancy water bottle. Or maybe you're starting to add a little fruit to your water to get it have a little bit more of a flavor. All kinds of fun things you can do to reward yourself. I mean, really, those questions are important. Now, let's think of it this way. Habits are just daily goals that get to an end point. So keeping in mind, we often will talk about goals, and that's what we use for big picture words. And habits, we don't really think about as being the means to the ends, the means to get to your certain goal. So think about it a little bit differently. And hopefully by the end of this podcast, you've got a little sense of like, oh, okay, if I start working on habits, they can help me to get to my end goal, which may for some of you be like, duh, you know, of course, that's how this works. But really think about it. Have you ever failed to reach a goal? What do you think the problem was? It's possible that you didn't get all the habits in place first. So really keep this in mind. Now, simple process for creating any habit, according to Mr. James Clear. And remember, he's the Atomic Habit book guy, which I find absolutely fascinating. And he's got a great website. It's jamesclear.com. Check him out. I really recommend if you're working on trying to set some good healthy habits for yourself this year, and you're trying to break some other ones and set some end goals, he's the guy to take a look at. So his simple five-step process for creating any habit starts with making your habit so small you can't fail. Because keep in mind, people try to add too many things together to have too much change too fast. Really, the idea here is you want to set yourself up for success so you can't fail. So say you want to get in shape, start by doing one push-up, one pull-up, one squat, whatever it may be. Start by doing one of these things, and then the next day you do two. You keep going up from there. Simple stuff so that things are easy to achieve and impossible to fail, because if you can achieve it one day, that gives you enough of a reward to be like, okay, I can do this tomorrow. Such as, for example, you're going to start eating vegetables. Okay, you eat one carrot one day and the next day you eat two. Stuff like that. Now, if you have a big habit that you're trying to create, break it down. You know, one of the things that you can think about is if your goal is to write, say, a book, or your goal is to, say, do 100 pull-ups a day. Well, okay, start with 10 sets of 10 so that it's not 100 in one shot. You do 10 every hour or so. That's doable. And see if you can break it down that way. Oftentimes when I've had workouts that seemed insurmountable, breaking it down into, you know, five lifts, five rounds or something like that helped me to finish that task.
But in the case of creating a habit, you know, for a lot of people, exercise in 1 hour a day is a really tough habit. But if you take 10 minutes six times during the day, that's more doable. Or 10 minutes three times a day to get 30 minutes. Something to think about. And I think this is something that a lot of folks feel like if they don't get it all in one session, they fail. They can't do it. You can break up exercise. There's nothing wrong with that. You can break up writing books. You can break up writing term papers. It's taking chunks of things and doing it one step at a time. Now, another advice component from Mr. Clear is never missing something twice. I like this because I think a lot of people will be like, I'm too tired to go to the gym today. I'm just not going to go. Okay, fine. You miss one day. Great. Just don't miss 2 days in a row. You can miss one workout. You can miss one day of eating perfectly. Just don't miss 2 days in a row. I feel like in this case, this is a huge, huge component. And I've used this with many of my patients when we're starting to work on reinforcing working out, reinforcing eating healthy. Because I think, unfortunately, a lot of people too, if they goof up one day, they're like, oh, I'm done with this. I'm not going to do it again. You know what? I failed. No. Give yourself grace for one day and then go back and just don't let yourself miss working out or miss writing or miss whatever your endpoint goal or habit is here. Just miss once and then get back on the horse. Do it again. Eat your junk food that you were not going to do once, but not twice in a row. Things of that nature. Now, another thing that he talks about is being patient and finding a sustainable pace. I think a lot of us are too focused on trying to get to our goal or get our habits set like in a matter of days. It doesn't work that way. And I see this over and over in my office as well. And I keep trying to tell folks, you've got to have success one day at a time. Because building an exceptional goal, your endpoint goal of saying retiring early or living on a Caribbean island or living out of a van traveling through the mountains, whatever it may be, this takes time. What's that saying? Rome wasn't built in a day. It's true. And so your endpoint goals aren't going to be built in a day. And habits aren't built in a day either. You really need to go at a sustainable pace. My one favorite line that my coach uses all the time is time takes time. Yes, it does. Greatness takes time. It takes time to be an exceptional human being, according to James Clear. So thinking about this in terms of, okay, I'm going to set this habit, I'm going to create this habit for myself and I'm going to set this goal, but I'm going to set it in a realistic time frame. Like in 6 months, I will have lost 10 pounds, something of that nature, versus in 6 months, I'm going to lose 100 pounds. Yeah, right. That's crazy. Am I saying it can't be done? No, but I'm just saying that's a lot of weight to lose in that quick amount of time. So how do we create a habit? We got to make a cue that's obvious. If we want to drink more water, you got to put the water by your desk. Now we've got to make that cue attractive. How are we going to make that cue attractive? We're going to buy a water bottle that's cool looking. Or we're going to add lemon or lime in that water so that it's more attractive just to the look, to the taste. And we're going to make it easy to get a response. Does that mean we're going to have it right next to our desk so we can quick grab it, we can drink water, and then we're going to feel, okay, I feel better. I drank my water. Yay. Why? Because the water's right there. I didn't have to walk to the water cooler. I didn't have to go out of my way. It's right there. Now, making it satisfying, using a water bottle that keeps your water cool, something like a Swell or a Corksicle or something of that nature. So now it's cool. It's satisfying because it has lemon and lime. And so as simple as that, with water. You can think of ways to make your cue obvious, make your cue attractive, so that you want to crave it. It's just, you know, it's irresistible. The third part is making it easy to get. And then fourth is making it satisfying. So if you're wondering, am I going to have these in my podcast notes? Absolutely. So that you can check them out. And if you want more details, like I said before, jamesclear.com, he has all of this listed out there. And this is what I reference for my patients when they're working to try to create habits and have successful goal setting. Now, how do you break a habit? First, you've got to take that cue and you have to make it invisible. So remember my chocolate cake? You got to take the chocolate cake out of the house. Now, you have a craving that you've created to this cue, which is your chocolate cake. So you got to make that craving unattractive. In this case, you want to remind yourself about how you felt last time you ate too much of that cake, how you felt internally, mentally, emotionally. You got to remind yourself how down you felt on yourself last time you ate that piece of cake. Now, you have to make that response to that cake difficult. This is kind of a further exaggeration, if you will, of that feeling that you had when you had that cake. Now, I don't want you to be down on yourself. I want you to remind yourself of when you were down on yourself in the past and how you didn't feel good from eating that. Now, you have to make that reward unsatisfying. So that cake has to be unsatisfying. Well, now you've talked about how you didn't feel good. You talked about how you were down on yourself when you ate that cake before. That's not satisfying, is it? No way. You want to think about something that would be much more satisfying in that case. What could you replace that with? What could you make in terms of a new habit that's obvious, that's attractive? So instead of your chocolate cake, perhaps now instead you're going to have an apple. And the apple's going to be shiny. It's going to be crunchy. It's not going to have bruises on it. You're going to buy a higher end apple that looks pretty. And it's going to be washed up. And it's going to be just glowing. That's the attractive component. And you're going to make it easy. Why? It's going to be right out in front of you in your fruit bowl. All pretty, just waiting for you. And you know that it's going to be satisfying because it's going to be the apple you like the best. It's going to be the crunchiest, sweetest apple that you've had before that you know is absolutely delicious. So that's how you take the cake, turn it into something that's not as attractive, and make an apple look amazing. I think a lot of people will just buy whatever kind of apple at the grocery store that's on sale. No, buy the most pretty apples, the most shiny ones, the ones without the bruises. Spend a little bit on it, because if it looks attractive, you're going to want it a lot more. So think about that. Now, I've talked about these habits. What I haven't talked about is goal setting. This is your end point. So remember, the habits are the means to your end, which is the goal. And so first things first with goals, when you're trying to set something, you want to be thinking, is my goal something I think I should meet as a part of achieving an endpoint? Or is this a goal you want to achieve as an ultimate goal? So for example, if you ask yourself, oh, I need to do this, or I should do this to get to this endpoint, you're talking about a habit. So for example, if you need to save money to retire early, the need to save money is a habit. You need to learn a habit of saving money to be able to retire early. Retiring early is your goal. See where I'm going with this? And I'm really hammering in on this habit versus goal because I think it's really important for folks this time of the year, the beginning of the year, when New Year's resolutions are at the forefront of a lot of folks' minds is that you're going to fail to set your habit if you don't have a clear end goal. Like, for example, I need to lose weight to be healthy. Okay, if you need to lose weight, or you should lose weight to be healthy, you got to create some habits first. That being healthy is your end goal. Unfortunately, goals are too big, too vague. They lack substance. They're unenjoyable often. And sometimes they're not even your own goal. Like, someone else wants you to lose weight. Someone else wants you to quit drinking or smoking, but you really don't want to. Another big deal with goals is that you don't chart your progress. If you're trying to lose weight, you need to be journaling what you're eating. You need to know what's going in your mouth. You need to know how much is going in your mouth. You need to know what kind of foods you're eating, because that gives you a heck of a lot of information. And by charting that information, you know what habits you need to change and what habits are working in order to help you to get to your endpoint of losing weight. Another big thing with goal setting is underestimating the time it takes to complete the goal. A lot of people will be like, I'm going to lose weight in 6 months, or they'll have a vacation set or a wedding or something, and they're like, I need to lose 30 pounds by this time, and it's like 2 months away. That's not the way this works. You're underestimating the completion time. Sometimes, too, is a lot of people will set negative goals, and the negative goals are goals that are going to harm their thought process. And for a lot of people, you know, I go back to weight loss again, is that sometimes the weight isn't the issue. Sometimes there's other underlying issues that are more important to deal with. And focusing on the weight distracts from other emotional components, like getting certain needs met first, like love, security, feeling comfortable, feeling safe, things of that nature. Those are important needs to have met before you can get to your endpoint goal. So something to think about in that department. The other biggie with goals is not appreciating failure. Because a lot of times on the way to achieving a goal, there will be little mini failures. And that's where taking the time to review your progress and chart your progress will show you where you've had little blips, but where you've also made big gains. And a lot of people will take a failure, you know, going back to the weight again, they'll get on the scale and they'll be like, I haven't lost weight in 2 weeks. But if they look at their progress, they're eating so much better. They're eating smaller portions. Things are going better. They're just stuck at the moment. We get lost in these things. So something to keep in mind. Now, in addition to all of this, I think we also get lost in what we need to actually outline for our big goals. Now, I have another reference. It's Paul Meyer's book, Success Motivation Institute, mindtools.com. He outlines what goals need to be in terms of the key components of goals. He talks about them being specific and clear. For example, what do you want to accomplish? Why is this goal important? Who's involved in the goal? Where is it located? Which resources or limits are involved? These are good questions to ask yourself, because I think a lot of times when we're thinking about goal setting, we just blurt out a sentence and we don't really think about all the details involved. Now, in terms of the measurement of this goal, like I said, tracking your progress is important. How much? How many? How will I know my goal is accomplished? Going back to weight, what is your goal weight? And, you know, that can be dangerous for a lot of folks too, because they have unrealistic numbers that they're throwing out there for their you know, goal weight. That's not going to happen. And so these are things that can be a negative goal. So really looking at everything surrounding why you're making the goal, what's realistic at this point, and being honest with yourself. Now, in terms of achievability, how are you going to accomplish the goal? How realistic is the goal? And are there financial factors that are involved that could be constraints in terms of achieving your goal? Now, the next component that Paul Meyer noted is relevancy. And he was saying, you need to say yes to these following questions. Does this goal seem worthwhile? Is it the right time to go for this goal? Does this goal match your efforts and needs? Are you the right person to reach this goal? Is this goal applicable in the current socioeconomic environment? So things to be thinking about. Now, another thing is back to the time, and I've already mentioned it before in terms of time frame, because unfortunately we do tend to set unrealistic time frames for goal achievement. Now, yes, a good question is to ask yourself, when will you achieve the goal by? But looking at it realistically and being, is this enough time for me to achieve this goal? And giving yourself parameters. In 6 months, where will you be? In 5 months, where will you be? In 6 weeks, where will you be? Where will you be in a week? What are you going to do today? Giving yourself milestones with the goal is huge. So I've given you a breakdown of habit formation and the connection of habits to goals, and that habits are what are used to create your end goals. Now, I want you to spend some time, if you've struggled with creating habits and making them stick, or you're a serial goal creator, but you never seem to be achieving your goals and you're getting pretty down on yourself, what you want to be thinking about is, have you created enough habits to get you to your goal? Or have you created a goal that's just unrealistic? Or are you not tracking your progress and giving yourself milestones to reach, so targets to reach along the way? All of the success that I've seen in my practice with goal and habit creation comes with a plan, just like a business plan. It's outlined, it's detailed, and it outlines what habits need to be created to get to this end goal. And it outlines how they're going to get to the end goal, the time frame, etc. Everything I've mentioned here in the podcast today. And a lot of people, unfortunately, don't want to put the work in to do this. And I cringe because really the folks that I see the most success with getting healthy, living their most healthy life, obtaining optimal health, reversing type 2 diabetes, losing weight, are the folks that sit down, create habits and end goals with me and outline a time frame and parameters like targets to reach. We make sure that their goal is relevant. We make sure it's achievable. We make sure it's measurable. And most importantly, we make sure it's very specific and clear. And when I say specific, it's not too many things. It's a clear outline of habits to create that are simple and achievable to get to the end goal. So I hope that for those of you who have set New Year's resolutions and failed in the past, or those who have set them and haven't quite embarked fully on them yet, I hope that this podcast helps you to really sit down and outline your game plan. If you just willy-nilly made your statement on New Year's Eve that you're going to do X, Y, or Z, and then imagined it was going to happen without a game plan. No good success ever happens without a game plan. You can't win a football game without a game plan. You see the coaches there calling out the plays. You need to create yourself your play and how you're going to do this and outline it. And instead of being upset with yourself when you keep trying to create habits and set goals without straight documentation with your game plan of how you're going to do it. So hopefully in listening to this podcast, you've got some ideas of how you're going to outline things for yourself. And you can head over to my website at drjkrausnd.com to help with creating great habits for yourself. And by all means, look at the resources that I've listed on my podcast notes, James Clear and the Atomic Habits. And oh my goodness, I just forgot the other guy's name. Oh, I get it. Hold on. Let me find it again. James Clear is the biggie at jamesclear.com, but Paul Meyer is the other guy. And he definitely also has some really, really good information at mindtools.com. So the two of them are the gurus that I found most useful for patients in my practice and myself in terms of helping with habit formation and goal setting. So if you're struggling, I highly recommend checking those folks out and looking at my outlines of steps, actionable steps. And I wish you the best of luck in all of this. And feel free to make some comments. Let me know how you did. I'd love to hear the successes, even the failures, because I think there's a lot we can all learn from helping each other to create good habits and set some great goals. So you have survived another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Kress. Have a great day, whatever you're doing. Hey everybody, Dr. Janine Kraus here. If you liked what you heard today, then head over to drjkrausnd.com to find my free resources and information to know when I post something new that's juicy that you might want to check out. Plus, head over to where you get your podcasts and like, subscribe, and write a review to help get the word out about me and help others at the same time to find me. It really does help, and I really appreciate all of your reviews.